King cotton required slave labor, and plenty of it. Even though Southerners such as Washington, Jefferson, and Madison were slave owners, they had hoped the institution would die. They were replaced, though, by leaders like John C. Calhoun, who resigned from the vice presidency in 1832 because he could do the South more good as senator from North Carolina. Southern leaders fought hard for what they saw as the Southern lifestyle. States had to be added in pairs, one free state with one slave state. Indiana, 1816, entered the Union with Mississippi, 1817. Illinois, 1818, entered with Alabama, 1819. This arrangement became law with the Missouri Compromise of 1820. Maine entered in 1820 as a free state, accompanied by in 1821 by Missouri as a slave state. In the final three pairs, the slave state preceded the free state. Arkansas in 1836 and Michigan in 1837, Florida and Texas in 1845, followed by Iowa in 1846 and Wisconsin in 1848. North and South. By 1850, prosperity abounded in New England and the Middle Atlantic, where manufacturing, trade, and banking drove the economy. Thanks to the Industrial Revolution, factories produced far more for their owners, even if the workers who did the producing may or may not have benefited much from it. Thanks to America's world power status and friendship with Britain, American ships traded all around the world, serving not only American markets, although these were certainly important, but the international market too. Yet, the more industry thrived, the more class differences grew. Individual craftsmen found it harder and harder to compete with the factories and were not happy with the waves of immigrants willing to do menial factory work. The industrialists, for their part, believed, not without reason, that they were the ones risking their capital and they were personally entitled to all the benefits they could extract from their factories. To the South, agriculture drove the economy. Tobacco, rice, sugar, and especially, again, cotton. Thanks to the Industrial Revolution, the world had acquired an enormous appetite for cotton, and the United States produced more than 80% of the world's cotton supply. Yet cotton was a very labor-intensive crop, which meant that human slavery remained crucial to the Southern economy. Individual small farmers could still survive if they worked very hard, but most moved west in search of better farmland. Moreover, cotton was very hard on the soil, and the planters knew that if the Southern economy was to survive, or much less expand, slavery would have to expand into the Western territories. The admission of Texas into the United States was a major boost to slaveholding interests,